Hello and welcome to another episode of Lit Up with Nina Alvarez. I'm your host, Nina Alvarez. Today we have on Susanna Rose. She's a singer-songwriter from Rochester, New York. Susanna has played at venues throughout upstate New York, and in November 2014, she won a singer-songwriter contest at the Firehouse Saloon in Rochester. Since then, she has guest judged several other songwriter contests at the Firehouse, as well as continuing to write and perform original music. Susanna also received very recently her master's degree in mental health counseling from what school was that?
St. John Fisher.
She's lived in London and South Korea, and it was in London where she actually learned how to play guitar. Mm-hmm. Is that right? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot more to know about Susanna, and we're going to learn all about it today. So welcome to the show.
Thanks, Nina. I'm really excited to be talking to you.
Okay, good. Good to have you here. Well, today's show is kind of unique, and I'm very excited about it. We are going to be hearing some of Susanna's music as well as talking to her. This is the first time on Lit Up, and some of it's going to maybe be live, some of it's going to be recorded, but either way, I'm very excited to introduce this beautiful music to our listeners. First thing I'd like to do, though, is talk to Susanna about, I guess, her songwriting and what it is that lights her up and gets her inspired in the first place. So, Susanna, you told me once that you've been writing songs in your head since you were a kid. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about what that's like for you, that internal songwriting experience?
There's just like always a song going on in my head. There's always, I could always be humming something. So there's always stuff there.
Okay, great.
Does that make me sound crazy?
I think that's kind of normal for artists. I'm sure painters are always seeing, you know, images, and photographers are always picking up. I know for me, I hear lines all the time of words. So did you play any instruments when you were a kid or take voice lessons or anything like that?
I took piano lessons for a little bit, and I did a chorale in high school.
Oh, chorale, yes. Yes, but it wasn't until 2009. How old were you in 2009?
I was 21.
21, okay, that's still pretty young. When you were in London studying abroad, and someone taught you how to play guitar.
Yeah, my friend Vinny.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. Did you know at that point that you were going to really take to the guitar and fly with it, or?
Well, my friend is an awesome singer-songwriter, and I had never played or even thought of writing my own songs till that point, but I would hear him play, and I was like, oh my God, I want to learn that. Can you teach me something? So it was just like this sort of pull that I had to learn more, and it went from there.
Yeah, okay. So I know that one of the things that sets you apart from a lot of other people I know making art is that you bring an ethos of non-judgment to the process. And I think that's really important for those of you out there listening who are trying to develop your craft in whatever it is, and also maybe bring your craft out into the world. There can be a lot of judgment both in the process and also then in the, oh my God, what are people going to say to what I've created? Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about your philosophy around that and how it works for you?
Well, it really comes from when I started playing, because I was so amazed by my friend who was writing these awesome songs and playing them. And he was like, well, all it takes to make a song is to write some words that rhyme and pick like two chords. Like there could be thousands of songs written with just two chords. Mm. And I was like, oh my God, really? Like, I can do that. That's not hard, right? So I just went in with this attitude of it's not hard, it's fun, and you can start really simple and just go from there. So it's really like that's where,
just you kind of try to keep it simple and playful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so you already have these songs jumping around in your head anyway, so.
Right. So learning the guitar, even like the very basics that I was just learning in 2009, I was able to actually get some of the melodies that I would hear kind of out, which was really nice because I never had that outlet before.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. So how did it progress from that point to your first live show?
It happened really quickly, actually. So I just started learning while I was studying abroad. And then when I got back home, I was working in Rochester and just kept on playing. And I met Tim Avery, who's a local musician who's really great and friendly.
I actually know Tim.
You know,
Avery.
Everyone knows
known
Tim.
Him for a long time, yeah.
Everyone knows Tim.
Tim Avery, yeah,
yeah, pretty much. So he was so nice to me. So I met him at a holiday party or something, and I just met him, and I was like, yeah, I've been writing these songs, because I really started out writing songs as I was learning, and I think it helped me to learn guitar because mm-hmm. I was playing my own stuff, and there was that creative piece
right.
instead of just like a very dry, you know, over and over trying to do it, yeah. which there was that too.
Right.
So Tim was like, well, why don't you come over to my house and record them? And I was like, yeah, sure. Okay. So I recorded an album during that year. So it was only like the second year of me playing guitar. And I recorded this album of music that I called The Wishing Well. And I kept playing and I played out a little bit. And so that's how it got started.
Oh my God, Tim Avery.
Yeah.
I think and the city ran an like a profile on him 2 years ago or a year ago mm-hmm. about him being like a, I don't know, like a tastemaker or a change agent or something
a
in the Rochester
yeah.
music scene. He's like an incubator. He like loves to help musicians.
Mm-hmm.
And now he mm-hmm. runs the shows at the Bug Jar, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I want to quickly plug that you do have a show coming up. At the Bug Jar.
Yes, I do.
When is that?
That's July 1st. It's a Wednesday night at 9 p.m.
Okay, great. So July 1st, folks, Wednesday, 9 p.m., mm-hmm. Susanna Rose. Well, again, today is a first on Lit Up. We are going to have some live music. Susanna is going to play a song that has not even yet been recorded. And Susanna, I'm going to let you set it up.
Okay. So this is called A Song to Myself. Girl, what are you so afraid? Why do you keep running away from wherever you are? Girl, why don't you stay in one place for once so you can finally get somewhere? Girl, I gotta tell you something I don't think you wanna hear. I'm gonna tell you anyway. Girl, you brought it all on yourself. You built all the walls that need to come. Sit around and wait for anyone else to tell you what to do. You're on your own. This is a song to myself, but I'm playing it for you, 'cause of all the struggles we both go through. Oh, I wrote this song to myself, but I wonder if you recognize anyone. So afraid of, why do you keep running away from wherever you are?
I have chills. I love your music. The last time I saw you in concert, I think I just floated all the way home.
Oh my gosh, I'm so glad to hear that.
So, Susanna, when you started getting shows mm-hmm. around town and mm-hmm. maybe getting a bit of a name for mm-hmm. yourself, did you feel that process, now we're back to non-judgment, did you feel ever like that made you feel vulnerable or too far out there?
I definitely feel vulnerable about that. It's yeah. so much easier to just be writing songs by myself and like it's fun and I play it for my friends and they're like, that's yeah. great, you know. But especially when you get to the point where you're trying to promote yourself a little bit,
right?
I really hate that. I really do. Yeah. And it's just this weird sort of ambivalence about it because I want to get my music out there. I really enjoy playing it for people and I enjoy the performance of it. But then I strongly dislike having to be like, hey, everyone, I have this show. And to be like, please come to my show, you know?
Yeah.
I don't like being that person either. So I'm like, that's a struggle.
It is. I'm sure it yeah. is. Have you found that there are, and this might be interesting to other musicians who are getting their names out there, are there any mm-hmm. ways that are better or worse to actually get a crowd into your show?
Well, I found the best way is just talking to people about it. So when I invite people, like, you know, friends or whatever, yeah. That's how I've, you know, friends come and support and people I talk to.
Yeah,
so.
I find that too. It's kind yeah. of the people who know you, at least yeah. when you're still in your hometown mm-hmm. demographic. Mm-hmm.
And also family.
And family. Family's great, right? Yes. Yeah.
My mom will be at every single one of my shows if I let her. So.
That is great. And then it also helps to have a show at a popular venue like the Bug Jar.
I'm yeah, sure. definitely. That's yeah. a great way for new people yeah. that don't know you to hear your music.
Right, yeah. exactly. And you also play, yeah. I know you play around, like you said, Firehouse Saloon.
Well, I sometimes guest judge at their monthly songwriter contest.
Okay, yeah.
And I also play at cafes around like Starry Nights and playing
right.
at, you know.
Okay. Yeah. Those of you who might be familiar with Susanna without realizing it, if you've ever been into Starry Nights, she's been working there for a couple of years and she's a popular face.
I did until recently.
Until
I worked
recently,
there for
yes.
about 3 years.
So. But if you, with the red glasses and the long brown hair and
I don't want to be known. I don't want to be known as a barista for Starry Nights. I don't. I'm not always in the best mood at work. So that connection.
Well, I wanted to set up the next song that we're going to hear, kind of lead my way there and leisurely, though. We're going to be hearing the first song you ever recorded or ever wrote. Is that it?
It's the first song I wrote for guitar. So this is back in 2009 when I was in London. It was like the only three chords that I knew. that's it, yeah.
Okay, and what's it called?
It's called Christmas Eve.
Okay, so before we jump in, can you tell us a little bit about the process you went through writing the song?
Well, I really took what my friend had said to heart. So I literally picked three chords that I thought sounded nice together. And then I wrote some words that rhymed. Mm-hmm. And it really went from there. Like just kind of a poem came out and then I put it to the chords and it was a song.
Okay, so the chords you picked, were they just, it was kind of random or were they, did you feel kind of led to them?
I mean, I liked them, but they're pretty basic chords. There's probably millions of songs okay. with those chords, you know? So that's what I knew at the time and that's what I wrote.
Okay, so we are going to hear, today we're going to hear Susanna's first song and her most recent. That's going to be coming later. And we'll talk about the bridge between. But first, let us play, what's it called again?
Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve, yes.
On Christmas Eve, she fell and screamed, lay down. It's unhappy so fast. church that night. Nothing felt right. Everyone singing hymns, but I felt pretty grim.
Wrote this song in 2009, 2010?
2009, yeah.
2009. Mm-hmm. And I heard some violin on there.
Mm-hmm.
Who played
mm-hmm.
with you?
That was Nate DiMaria.
Is he
on the violin?
Was that here in Rochester, and that was that in London?
No, the recording is from here in Rochester, actually just from this winter. So when I won the singer-songwriter contest at the Firehouse, the prize was 5 free hours of studio time at the Green Room, which is a recording studio in Ontario that's run by Matt Rammerman. I used my 5 free hours to record that song, and then Nate was a friend of Matt's that I hired to put violin on it.
Oh, that's fantastic.
As well. Yeah.
Okay. Can you talk about your musical influences? I mean, you know, I'm hearing a lot of, you know, some of my favorite female singer-songwriters in there. But I want to know from you, like, who mm-hmm. you feel influences mm-hmm. you.
I feel like my strongest influence is Iron and Wine.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Oh, yeah,
Sam Beam. Yeah. Bon Iver, I really love.
Yeah.
I used to like Sam Phillips. And The National, I also love.
National, yes. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess these are not female. But yeah, right. It actually sounds more like Iron and Wine than really. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So the mood of the song, can you tell us where that came from? I know you said that it was sort of just a song that came out of you, but mm-hmm. was there something on your mm-hmm. mind at that time?
Well, I was 21 and I was sort of far away from home for the first time.
Yeah.
And some members of my family had been having some issues close to that time. So I think that was on my mind, and I didn't really talk about it with anyone. So it just came out in what I was writing.
I see. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, next we're going to hear your most recently written song. Right?
I wrote it this winter with a bunch of other songs.
Okay.
But so it is the most recently recorded.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What's it called?
It's called Separate Ways.
Separate Ways. Mm-hmm. And tell us about Separate Ways.
Separate Ways was really fun to write because it's extremely simple on the guitar. And but I really liked how it sounded in the end. And also this recording, I think of it as unfinished because I want to get cello on it.
Mm.
So it's sort of like a rough draft recording.
Do you have anyone in mind for cello?
I don't actually. So if any cello players want to record on the song, please let me know.
That you heard it, celloists listening in. Contact Susanna Rose. And this is your big break.
I can pay you $20 and my friendship.
Which is priceless,
right?
Folks. Yeah, priceless. Okay, so between 2009 and 2014,
mm-hmm.
we're going to hear, you know, the sort of bookends of your writing career so far.
Mm-hmm.
Can you say anything that you feel has changed in your style or approach? Anything we'll pick up on between the two?
Well, it's still pretty similar. I don't know if this song in particular shows you all the changes that have happened, because I've obviously grown as a musician and I can do more on the guitar now than I could in 2009 when I only knew 3 chords.
Yeah.
But I still, everything starts out pretty simple and I take that sort of basic approach. I don't try to get too fancy, and then
keep it simple.
Yeah.
All right. So here we go. Here's the song.
Lately I've had some unsettling But before I met you, I already knew. Loving's part of life, and losing too. We all go separate ways, separate ways, separate ways.
For the last segment of our discussion today with Susanna, I'd like to talk about her other life, her other life as a therapist, which I'm sure has a lot of emotional and even theoretical overlap between songwriting and helping other people become happy, happier, work through their issues and hold a space for them mm-hmm. to do so. Mm-hmm. I know that a couple weeks ago we had on Charlie Cote, who's a poet and a therapist, mm-hmm. and he saw, for him, it was about presence, mm-hmm. kind of the zen of mm-hmm. both things. Mm-hmm. So Susanna, I want to first ask you about you just finished your master's degree mm-hmm. in counseling. Mm-hmm. You have done 1,000 hours of counseling, at least, right?
As an internship, hour internship
right.
to do.
And mm-hmm. you did, this was at a college?
Most of it, yep, was at St. John Fisher's Undergraduate College Counseling Center.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what was that like for you? What did you think of that experience?
It was a great experience. I really loved working with undergraduate students.
Okay, great. What got you into counseling? Was it sort of surprising to you that you went that way?
Yeah, I never would have thought it because I was an English literature major at SUNY Geneseo. And then after that, I did a few other things. I taught English in Korea. I, you know, worked in different places. And then I did AmeriCorps, and my placement was at St. Joseph's Neighborhood Center, which is a local healthcare center for people without insurance.
I think that's in my neighborhood down in the South Wedge,
actually. Yeah. It's an amazing place. It's really wonderful. So doing AmeriCorps there, I learned about what counselors do. There are a lot of volunteer counselors there and some that work there. So I kind of learned about that career path. Mm-hmm. And after talking to them, they told me that even with an English major, I could still go to grad school for counseling, which totally shocked me because I thought I haven't taken a psych class since high school. So how could I do that?
Yeah.
So I was really excited about it. And I think that English and songwriting and counsel, all those things kind of connect in some way because it's people's stories. Like the reason that I love writing songs or the reason that I love English literature is because the things that are real that are in it about people.
Yes.
And so I love listening to people and getting to know them and
getting to know them. And mm-hmm. do you feel, I'm assuming based on some sort of introspective lyrics that you create, that you're interested in the interiority?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like mm-hmm. people's interior experiences and mm-hmm. perceptions, your own and also those people who you're helping.
Mm-hmm.
So you recently graduated,
mm-hmm.
And I know you have a couple shows coming up this summer, and right now you're just sort of taking things as they come
mm-hmm.
for what comes next.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the best way to do it. Mm-hmm. So once again, everyone who's been listening, if you loved Susanna's music, which I'm sure you did, and you want to hear more, she's going to be playing live at the Bug Jar in Rochester, New York, July 1st. So Wednesday around 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
And you can follow up with Susanna online. She has a Bandcamp.
Yep. My Bandcamp is bandcamp.com/Susanna Rose. And I also have a Facebook page, which is just Susanna Rose
Rose. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Susanna, is there anything you'd like to say to our listeners? Anything, any words of encouragement or advice about, I guess, the process of becoming, you know, a singer?
I think, like, what stands out to me is what a surprise it was, because I never thought that I would be a singer-songwriter. And so I guess just being open to whatever life throws at you and listening to yourself, too, because there was part of me that was just really drawn to learning guitar, and I didn't know why or what would come of it. And now it's something that's so meaningful to me in my life. So
that's great. It's really wonderful to hear. Yeah, stay open and yeah, don't get too calcified in who you think you are. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I find that it's so important at any age.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. And I hope to have you back on again, because there's some more area I'd love to explore with mm-hmm. you. I know that we have some similar ideas on spirituality and therapy and echo therapy, and also more about the creative process. And you probably mm-hmm. have more songs for us too.
Hopefully, yeah. I want to record another album next year. So then okay. I'll be releasing that in the next spring, hopefully.
That's fabulous. Yeah. Okay, so if you want to, again, if you want to get in contact with Susanna Rose, you can find her. She has a Facebook page. If anyone's interested in booking her, or just has some questions for her, they can probably message you through that.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. fantastic. All right, well, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, Nina. It was really fun.
Okay, great.